Let's do this. Get set.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Usinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road, and when I got there, I thought maybe I'd run to the end of town.
And for a little run, I did. Chris Usinski here. Welcome to Running Flat Radio here on AM 800, CKLW, and Bell Media. Hey, you know what? What a gorgeous week, and what a great time to be running. First off, I hope you all had a great Easter break and got out there at least to walk or maybe do a couple miles, whatever you can do or whatever you're training for. Let's see, if you're in marathon training right now, you should be probably hitting your 20-miler really shortly, either this week or next week. And again, if you're doing like a half marathon, you should be doing like your 10-miler somewhere between last week and next week, according to, 16 or 18-week kind of training programs. And if you're walking, I hope you're walking with a stronger stride, because I'll tell you, the weather has just been amazing and it's only going to get better. If you're unfamiliar with Running Flat Radio, we are a show all about endurance, actually, about running, walking, with lots more running, sometimes triathlon and cycling. I think later on this year we're going to do a pretty hardcore cycling show. In prior years, and this show has been on for this is our third season, we've had a number of shows where we talk to different folks about cycling, but we really never kind of get to the real issue of cycling, and that's endurance cycling. The guys who go out and do, the 100 miles or the 50 mile rides on the weekend, and running large packs, on highways and back roads. Those are serious issues that we kind of need to talk about with those guys and how we actually deal with those regarding the motor vehicle rules and regulations of the road, no matter what jurisdiction you're in. But it's a fascinating conversation that I've had offline, and we'll do that online as well, probably a lot later in the summer. Today, we've got an awesome show. Our old friend, Dave McGillivray, is going to be on the air. Dave is first off, he's a legendary race director. He's race directed over 1,000 races, running races and endurance sports in the United States. And he's going to join us because he's also the race director for the Boston Marathon, famously. And he's going to talk to us about the 119th running of the Boston Marathon. What's new this year? What's happening this year? And then we're also going to probably talk about a whole bunch of, interesting issues about all the runners who couldn't make it into the Boston this year, even though they'd qualified time-wise, but they didn't make the add-on cutoff because of the amount of runners, and a little bit of a hullabaloo kind of in the running industry about that. So we're going to clarify that as well. So Dave McGillivray is going to be with us after the next commercial break, and we're going to have him for a full half hour. So we're going to talk to him about stuff happening in the industry on top of that and some of the trends that he's seeing as well. And don't forget, we also got Song of the Week. That's the song that we choose that's really new, really energetic, something you want to put on your MP3 player as you're running those long runs and you want to change up your music mix. And of course, Ben Kaplan from iRun Magazine is going to join us near the end of the hour, where we just kind of talk about what's interesting, and he's going to talk a little bit more about Boston, some of the things that he's heard. So if you're unfamiliar with Running Flat, we're all about putting on races and big runs and big events, and we just want to get everybody involved in our races, whether you're walking or running, whether you're new to the sport, whether you're old to the sport, whether you've never been in an organized run before. We want to take you through that, and we want to get you involved because it's such an amazing community to be a part of, the running community. Runners are amazing people. They're always giving. They're non-judgmental. I mean, I know a lot of people think that, when they're in that start shoot or at their first race, or, they don't want to sign up because they don't want to look funny in an outfit, or, they don't want to be there. There's a lot of self-conscious people out there, and runners aren't very self-conscious that way. We're very, very accepting of all people doing all levels of fitness. We're just happy that you're out there and sharing the experience with you. So one of the first races, and we produce, I think this year we're producing 9 races. Our first race of the year is Le Chocolat, which is also the city's and the region's largest race. It'll be, you know, probably around 2,500 runners this year. 98% of them are women. There's a half marathon. There's a 10K runner walk. There's a 5K runner walk. And there's also a 10K all age group national championship as well. And that's for the folks who are, you know, kind of competitive runners who want to go out and, you know, get first, second, or third in the male or female category in the, you know, 55 to 60 or 35 to 40 age group, whatever that is. Athletics Canada is going to be down here. John LaFranco will be adjudicating, and we'll be handing out awards for that. So, you know, register. Look, at there's not, if you go on the registration page, and everything's through Running Flat. If you go to runningflat.com, you'll see the Le Chocolat kind of tile there. Click on the tile. It'll take you to the registration page on race roster. When you get there, you'll notice that it's almost sold out. I think there's five spots left in the half. There's less than 100 spots, or just over 100 spots, sorry, in the 5K. And there's a handful of spots in the 10K. So it's pretty much all sold out. And so if you're thinking of registering, you should register now. And I know that we're still a month out. And then start watching Facebook and Kijiji and Craigslist, because people will be trading bibs out and trying to get rid of bibs because they can't make it or because they have an injury. So that's the best way to deal with that, is kind of look on social media for people trying to sell their bibs. So Le Chocolat, May 1st, real exciting event. Canada Day is also one of our events that's open. Canada Day is very unique for a lot of reasons. One is, it's the largest race in Canada on Canada Day in Amherstburg, Ontario. I know it's hard to believe, but it's becoming a larger and larger race every year with a lot of foreign tourists that are coming to it. The event itself is really unique because you get to actually vote on whose head goes on this iconic red maple leaf medal. It's a beautiful medal, and you know, the three finalists to be awarded the Great Canadian to be put on the medal are Wayne Gretzky, Don Cherry, and Clara Hughes. So when you register, you vote for one of those three to be on the medal. We count all those votes up in the next, I believe, 35 days, and then we'll announce who that Great Canadian is, and then, you know, that'll be the person on that medal for July 1st. You also, at the same time, nominate someone that you want to see in next year's kind of top three category, and, you know, we have a number of them, everything from Rush to Justin Trudeau. It's the full gamut. So for more information about that race and all the really cool shirt and all the Canadian goodies, it's such an interesting event because it's so Canada. It's like the 4th of July race, like the Independence Day's race without the blue. That's how we designed it. So it's all red and white and face painters and Bob and Doug McKenzie on the course. It's a great, great family event. And that's in Amherstburg, Ontario on July 1st. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we want to talk about. With Canada Day, there's also a virtual side. So if you got a buddy who's out of town and they're Canadian and they want to be a part of that, they can still register and we'll send them all the gear. We'll send them the shirt, the medal, the bib, so they can actually do that. So as you heard in the news leading up to this show, Color Run Nights has been somewhat announced. Registration starts next week. There's a VIP registration right now. If you go to runningflat.com, click on the Color Run tab, you will actually find a page which talks about VIP registration for $24 for that nighttime event. It's super cheap right now. I recommend you sign up for the VIP. And it's a nighttime event. We throw iridescent powder. We have, I don't know, like 150 of those black light towers on the course. So everything's just totally black lit all the way along the course. Lots of music and a big EDM music festival at the end. It's a lot of fun. It's a hot summer night, July 23rd. The run starts at dusk. I think around 9:45, somewhere in there, we're going to start it up. It's going to be a great time. So that's Color Run Nights. They're still looking at a new venue for Rock Me and Anaphylaxis. And we've got, mark in your calendar, September 10th, big Detroit race. I can't say anything about it, but just follow me on Facebook and follow the news, because there'll be a big announcement about it. September 10th in Detroit. You know what? We're up against a break. When we come back, our good friend Dave McGillery from the Boston Marathon on Running Flat Radio.
Scratch a ticket with the leg of a cricket and I got triple Jesus. Cashed it in for Siamese twin at the family firing range.
Live in comfort. Move with confidence. Comfort Mobility. If you require a wheelchair, walker, scooter, or medical device, trust Windsor's only family-owned home health care store that is ADP authorized with a registered nurse on staff. Learn more at comfortmobility.com. They treat you like family.
And be sure to check out Comfort Mobility at the Windsor Home and Leisure Show this Friday till Sunday. Sponsored in part by AM800. Visit OntarioTradeShows.com for more details.
Whether your passion is to become an entrepreneur, skilled trade specialist, or a fashion designer, St. Clair College is the place where you can start here and go anywhere. From business, IT, and engineering technology to media and the arts, or legal and protective services, you can explore it all at their college wide open house this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1. All campuses will be open. That's St. Clair College's open house this Saturday. Check out the details at stclaircollege.ca.
AM 800 weather is brought to you by AutoMax Windsor, your new car alternative. View their entire inventory of low-mileage, used vehicles at automaxxwindsor.com.
Here's the forecast from the AMA Headed Weather Center. For tonight, a few clouds with a low of minus 1. A mix of sun and cloud for tomorrow, the high reaching 14. Clouds roll in tomorrow night, a 60% chance of showers with a low of 10. Periods of rain on Thursday, a windy high of 18. For Friday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high reaching 10. For Saturday, cloudy, 60% chance of rain or flurries, the high reaching 5.
We start the conversation, you keep it going.
Now, this is ridiculous.
They can't control that.
To me, that would be such a slap in the face.
The Lynn Martin Show, weekdays 9 till noon on AM 800.
They just want to go in for the cash in this whole thing. They couldn't care less.
On Wednesday's show, we'll find out what you would do in this situation. One woman wants to know what you would do. You catch your husband doing something very, very wrong. Is it up to you to tell? We'll find out what you say next time.
The Lynn Martin Show, weekdays 9 till noon on AM 800. Radio for the active listener.
Get all my news in one place.
AM 800 CKLW. Radioactive! The information station.
When you are able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons to the full 26.2 miles. We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays 7 till 8 on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski here on AM 800. Hey, you know what? Our featured guest today is Dave McGillery, and he's a legend in the running industry, and he's Forrest Gumped across the United States, running twice coast to coast and raised money for charities. Started his own production company, DMSC, back in 1981, and has been a race director for over 1,000 races, most notably race director for the Boston Marathon since 1988. He's a great friend of the show, and I lean on him more than once or twice a year as a mentor, and it's good to hear your voice. How are you, Dave?
Chris, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. I'm a legend in my own mind. That's about it, though.
Hey, look, it's the 119th running of the Boston Marathon, correct?
Well, it's actually the 120th. You missed
the year. I did.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
120th running of the Boston Marathon in 3 weeks. And how many folks do you expect at that race?
Well, we have a self-imposed fill size limit of 30,000, so we have 30,000 runners.
So, you know, and I know I reached out to you a little bit earlier about this. There was an article that came out saying that 4,000 and some odd runners who actually made the qualifying time couldn't actually register for the race because there weren't enough spots because there's so many more people that want to run this race. What do you say about that? What's the race director say about getting more people involved in that race that have actually made those qualifying times?
Well, you know, I suppose one can say we're a victim of our own success. You know, people consider this, I'm not saying it, but other people consider this the holy grail of marathoning throughout the world. And so we get
no doubt.
We know that the demand is pretty high. But as I initially said we have a fill size limit that we have to adhere to for a lot of different reasons. One is, you know, this, as you just said, the race started 120 years ago, and we have no more real estate to put this race on today than they had 100 years ago.
Right.
And they had 200 people in the race, and now we have 30,000. And, you know, we have to figure that all out. And so, you know, more is not necessarily better. We're not trying to be the biggest marathon in the world. We're just trying to be the best. And it's all about quality versus quantity. So we can only fit so many. That's step number one. Step number two is that we're definitely about the pursuit of athletic excellence. And that's how this race all gets started, if you will. And so therefore, there are qualifying standards that folks have to meet within their respective age divisions. And over the last whatever number of years, you know, this race registration was open for 7-8 months. It would open in, you know, September and stay open until almost the beginning of April.
Yeah.
And we never really filled. But given the fact that, you know, the sport is obviously expanding and exploding in so many different ways, more and more people are running, more and more people are qualifying. So as a result, we have more people who are interested in running than we have space for them. And so back about 6-7 years ago, our race sold out in 8 hours and 3 minutes. And a lot of race directors from around the country called me and said, wow, congratulations, your race sold out so fast. And I said, congratulations, I'm hiding under my bed right now. I said, that nothing worse could have happened than to sell out so quick because so many other people now can't get in.
That's right.
So what we ended up doing is changing the whole registration process by which we eliminated the whole concept of the rush to the computer and said the best of the best are going to get in this race. And so we basically formulated a registration procedure over two weeks where those who beat the qualifying time by 20 minutes or more get in first, and then 10 minutes or more get in next, and then 5 minutes more and then get in the next. And then whatever was left, they all applied, and then we just peeled them off basically one by one until we were full. And that's how the race currently is set up. Now, on the flip side, you have those who don't qualify. Who are they? Well, a lot of them are the charity runners.
Right.
A lot of them are folks we have to take care of in terms of the cities and towns along the route, in terms of public safety officials, in terms of our sponsors. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Because you also have local bibs.
You also have
local bibs as well, right? For folks
who are. That's what I'm saying. It all adds up to you know this pool of numbers that we distribute as special invitations in order to continue to run the race. And so there's a delicate balance between the number of people who qualify and the number of people who don't. And we maintain that. And so that we feel we maintain the integrity of the event. So to answer your question, what happens with the 4,000 people or whatever the number was that got turned away? Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see that happen. And I think the only way going into the future to avoid that, because we're never going to get rid of, say, okay, we're going to eliminate the charity program. That's never going away. We raise between $20 and $30 million for various charities locally and stuff. It's just
every year.
It's too important now in the overall scheme of things just to say, okay, we're going to eliminate it. You know, the race would never happen if we did that. So the only other thing we could do is instead of us leaving someone on the curb, in terms of saying, okay, you qualified, but you're not in, is maybe down the road we're going to have to consider tightening the qualifying standards, which means that, you know, and that's the whole reason for the standards to begin with,
right,
to control the field size. So if we feel like even though we let 30,000 in, but only so many of those 25,000 of them are qualifiers, then we have to set standards where we only get 25,000 people who qualify. So we're not turning anyone away. How do you do that? You tighten the standards. And so that's something that we're looking at towards the future.
So back in 88, when you took over RD for the Boston Marathon, how many people ran that year?
When I directed, the first year was about 7,000.
And what do you attribute the growth of the event from 1988 to today where the people are just
it's the growth of the sport. It's not of the event. The event just came along for the ride. I mean, the whole industry you know, what eventually happened is that back in the 70s and 80s and before that was all about competition. It was just, you know, those of us who ran really competitive back then, we just were just driving each other into the ground. And it wasn't about finishing. It was about how fast and what place.
And you all knew each other, too, right? I mean, it was very personal.
I can line up at a race and just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm going to finish ninth in this race because I knew everyone in the race. Because we were all, like, on the circuit, if you will, going from race to race to race to be very, very competitive.
Right.
And then the walls of intimidation crumbled, and people started believing in themselves. And then they get off the couch and started walking and then running and then 5K and then 10K and then half to the marathon. And it was just evolution happening right in front of our eyes. And the introduction of philanthropy made a huge difference because what happened was that it made people believe, it made people less intimidated to enter the sport because they were doing it for a greater purpose. And now it's like, okay, I'm raising money for the sick kid in my neighborhood. Don't be so embarrassed about getting out there. You're doing something good for someone else, not just yourself.
Right.
Well, that became explosive again between the personal goal setting and the give back, the philanthropy. It just took off, and you know, and we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we're just on, you know, we're just on the fringe right here in terms of the, you know, the marketplace and where it's all heading, in my opinion.
And I want to talk to you about that when we come back after the news, because I want to talk to you about the future of running. And I also want to talk to you about a very special thing regarding health and your heart and how important it is, because it's spring and it's marathon season. How we want everyone who wants to go start running this year to go see their cardiologist. You're listening to Running Flat Radio with our special guest, Dave McGilvery, on AM800 CKLW.
There's a lot going on and a lot to talk about.
No, you don't do the right thing because there's a penalty for doing the wrong thing.
AM800 CKLW.
That, again, just doesn't fly with common sense.
The information station.
Windsor Honda has built an extra trophy case for all the Honda Civic Awards. 2016 North American Car of the Year, Ajax 2016 Best New Small Car, AutoGuide.com Car of the Year, and that's just the beginning. The Honda Civic is a classic, reinvented, with available Honda sensing technologies, a multi-angle rearview camera, and fully loaded with all the tech features you want. You need to visit Windsor Honda today and see the Honda Civic reinvented. Mark Trembacher and Ken Anser invite you to test drive the all-new Civic. It's all good. It's a Windsor Honda.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul McDonald.
City Council has given the green light for the downtown Windsor Farmers Market to move from Charles Clark Square to Belisher Street between Wyandotte and Maiden Lane. The market will operate from May 14th to October 8th from 7 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. The coordinator of the Citizens Environment Alliance calls it a step in the right direction. Derek Coronado is reacting to where Marathon Petroleum in Michigan is preparing to submit an amended request to state environmental regulators, which would lower emissions from the plant in southwest Detroit. Coronado welcomes the change but says he wants more details. The move comes following public outcry after the refinery attempted to gain approvals to release more sulfur dioxide and other pollutants into the air. Hotel Du Grace Healthcare's Transitional Stability Center in downtown Windsor is aiming to be open in May. Agencies and organizations that deliver mental health and addiction programs got a tour of the $2.4 million center on Olad Avenue today. Constable Kenneth Burt of the Windsor Police Coast Team says the center will improve the job officers do. And the cost of teachers' sick days for Ontario school boards last year was nearly $1 billion. The Globe and Mail reports the not-for-profit school boards cooperative found the average number of sick days teachers and education workers took last year was significantly more than 4 years ago. In sports, the Red Wings play the Canadiens in Montreal. Detroit is tied with Philadelphia for the final playoff spot in the East. Elsewhere, the Leafs face the Florida Panthers. Both those games are getting underway this hour. Weather-wise, just a few clouds for tonight. The low of -1, 7 right now, 45 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul McDonald, AM 800 News.
The Brain Injury Association of Windsor-Essex County presents the third annual Sports and Sparkle, the main event, on April 9th at the Kubota Club. Juanita Kasem and CTV's Bob Bellachico will be your hosts. Enjoy dinner, dancing, auctions, and games. Meet sports celebrities. professional football players, Miss Teen United Nations, an Olympic bobsledder, a boxer, a teen MMA fighter, and more. For tickets, call 519-981-1329 or visit BIAWE.com. Sponsored by AM 800 and CTV Windsor. Proceeds support the programs of your local Brain Injury Association.
Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Yuzinski here. Our special guest is calling us live from Boston, Dave McGillivray, the race director of the Boston Marathon. And just before the break, we were kind of talking about just the tip of the iceberg, and it's like a trend in the industry. And I'm going to leave it right back with you, Dave, to kind of explain what you meant by that.
Well, again, there are so many people out there in the world, and only a very, very, very tiny percentage of them do what we do,
right,
whether it's run marathons or run at all. And like I said before the break, the walls of intimidation have crumbled, and I think people are understanding now that the most important person in the world has to be themselves, and they need to take care of themselves, and that's not... it's not a selfish thing to do, contrary to maybe past belief that if you go out and run, you're being selfish, you're leaving your family behind. But you're not. By taking care of yourself, you don't burden anyone else to have to take care of you for you when you get older, and you put yourself in a position where you're able to help other people. And so for me, I think the whole industry has come down to one thing and one thing only, and that is sort of the whole concept of feeling good about oneself. You know, it's funny, when people used to ask me what I did for a living, I used to mumble that I was a race director. Like, mumble? I mean, a race director? What the heck do you do? You know, you put a chalk mark in the road and you yell go and you give them a bowl of beef stew and tell them to go home. And I said, yeah, that's pretty much what I do. And now when people ask me what I do for a living, I say I help raise a level of self-esteem and self-confidence of tens of thousands of people throughout the world. And that's really what this is all about, is raising self-esteem and self-confidence. And there's nothing more powerful than that in one's life to sort of encourage them and give them confidence to go out and accomplish something, or accomplish other things. And that's what you're seeing with running. It's, you know, again, it's a discipline that's very convenient, easy to do. You just lace them up and go out the door. You can do it anywhere, anytime, whatever. So that's why I think this is the tip of the iceberg.
And it's amazing also, just because look at what women have done to the sport over the last decade has been incredible as well.
Ironically, we're celebrating the 50 years of women running in the Boston Marathon this year. That's the whole theme of this year's race.
Right.
And it is extraordinary. I mean, only a short period ago, you know, the percentage was 80% male, 20% female. And now most of our races, it's more females running in it and participating in it than males. They're driving the sport, which is a good thing. You know, so it's all, you know, it's in the 50-50 range, which is where it should be. And again, I just think that people are inspiring and motivating other people to sort of get off the couch and get in the game.
Absolutely. And I guess what really people should know too is that depending on the type of event that we're talking about, when we talk about running on this show, it's everything. As Dave, you know, I'm a race director for the Color Run in Canada, and I also do a whole host of our own races, which is Le Chocolat, which is predominantly 98% women that come to that race because of the wine, the firemen, and the chocolate. And you know, we're kind of shameless about that, but it's a fabulous race to be a part of, and it's a great race to kind of get into that first 5K walk and to really kind of get involved and understand what the event is all about. And then maybe next year do the 5K run, and then maybe do the 10K walk the following year, you know, and then try to bring them along. And who knows, maybe one day qualify for Boston. And that's really what I love about the Color Runs and the Ragnars and what those guys have been able to do in North America for the last 4 or 5 years is really kind of almost be that gateway drug into the sport. Right, to introduce people into running.
And, you know, you see all the mob races out there, Mud Obstacle Beer or Color Runs and, you know, the obstacle events and all that. And some people look at those and say, oh, those are just fads and they're just social environments and not really, you know, sort of health and fitness orientated or lifestyle changes kind of a thing. But in any event, you know, it's getting people to move, getting people to participate. And then, you know, once that kind of thing runs through their blood and they're done with it, you know, they'll probably morph over to the true running industry, where people are doing it again for a different purpose, not just for the social benefits, but for the health and fitness benefits. And that's when it becomes a lifestyle, and off we go. So we're going to see the benefits of that down the road, as far as I'm concerned. And that's why I don't begrudge them from doing things. Go ahead and do them, you know, because you're helping to motivate and inspire these people to kind of join the ranks of all the runners at some point in time.
Absolutely. So famously, you've had a medical condition that I want to talk about. Look at you're a guy in pretty great shape. You every year run your age on your birthday in miles.
Right.
And it's not like you're a couch potato. It's not like you're a sedentary guy. And then you publicly kind of came out that you had a bit of a cardiac issue. And could you kind of talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's really critical that we always explain this to people who are either in running or want to join running, that being physically fit doesn't mean you're cardiac healthy.
Right. Well, in a sense, my heart is fine. My lungs are fine. But there was something else going on that I didn't know about. And so a couple of years ago, while I was running, in the initial stages of exercise, I would sort of have some difficulty breathing and, you know, very discomforting feeling in my chest, and almost like I was having a heart attack. But I didn't know what a heart attack was because I never had one. So how do I know what I'm experiencing, right? But I knew it wasn't right. So I went and had it checked, and I had echocardiograms and pulmonary tests and stress tests and EKGs and everything under the sun. And the conclusion was, you're fine. I said, no, I'm not fine. I can't breathe. And so, well, all the tests show that you're doing okay. And I said, well, then the tests are wrong. So we have to give me the big boy test. You know, look under the hood here.
Yeah.
So we did a CAT scan and an angiogram, and they basically found out that I had severe coronary artery disease. And, you know, obviously I was shocked by that, thinking that I always thought, you know, if you're fit, then you're healthy. And I, after 60 years of living, I realized maybe that's not true after all. Just because you're fit doesn't mean you're healthy. And, I have some genetics that are predisposed to high cholesterol, and not a lot I can do with that. And then, like maybe a lot of athletes, a lot of people, I felt that if the furnace is hot enough, it'll burn. And so if I go for a 20-mile run, I can kind of, you know, indulge in certain delicacies, if you will, and I'm just going to go run it off the next time around.
And
50 years of doing that, not abusively, but just doing it regularly, added up. And I realized that a good chunk of this was self-inflicted. And I said to the doctor when I was lying on the operating table, I have one question to ask you. And he said, what? I said, is this reversible? And he said, well, it depends. And I said, well, it depends on what? He said, it depends on the person. And I said, well, you're talking to him. And he said, well, I think you can do it. And I said, great, sign me up. You know, I'm in. So I just went on a tear, and I changed my total diet, nutrition, stress, sleep habits. I always thought sleep was overrated. You know, get as much into a day as you can.
Jam it.
You know, just keep doing things. Don't rest, all that. And I realized, you know, maybe I broke some rules. So I gotta smarten up. So I changed everything. And then in a matter of 4 or 5 months, you know, I lowered my cholesterol level by over 100 points. I lost 27 pounds that I didn't have to lose. I started training even harder and becoming more fit. And because I was more fit, I was getting actually more healthy because I was eating the right food. And as a result, I was losing some more weight, which meant I felt better when I was running. And I was taking some dietary supplements. And then I started swimming again. And I started biking again. And then I decided, hey, I'm going back to Hawaii. I'm going to do the Ironman. So they invited me back, and, you know, I was about a month out, and I was ready to go back to Hawaii to do the Ironman, and I got a letter in the mail from the Iron Man folks, and they said, we need a letter from your doctor. I said, what? A letter from my doctor? I've run 50,000 miles. I've run 140 marathons. I've done 8 Iron Man triathlons. I've run across the country, up the East Coast, blah, 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 blah. You get the picture, right? Why do I need a note from my doctor? Well, you have severe coronary artery disease, and we don't want you to go down in the lava fields on our dime. Okay, I get it. So I went to the doctor, and I said, they need a note. He says, I'm not giving you a note. I said, why? He says, I want to make sure you're okay. I said, well, what do we got to do to find that out? He goes, you got to have another angiogram. I said, let's go. Let's do it. We did another angiogram, and I reversed my severe coronary artery disease by almost 50% on my own. And he said, here's the note. And I went to Hawaii, did the Ironman again. So, and then last year I did 5 marathons. This year I've already done 3. You know, so I'm probably in better shape and more healthy today than I was 20 years ago. And it was all because I got a second chance. I got, you know, something happened and I took action. I mean, I have 7 friends of mine who are Olympic caliber athletes who went out for a run one day and never came home. Huh. And so I say to people, especially athletes, that sometimes the fittest athletes on the planet can actually be the most vulnerable because either we're in a state of denial or, you know, it's just the tests aren't catching it. And I said to the doctor, why didn't the stress test catch this? He says, because your other arteries overcompensated and you were so fit that it just didn't detect it. And I said, well, that's dangerous. He goes, yes, it is. And that's why we have to treat athletes like you a little differently than the normal sedentary person. You know, we're looking for different things versus, you know. So that's the lesson now is that, you know, you feel anything, anything's awry, you know, certainly go get it checked and make sure you're okay.
Just really quickly regarding stress, because stress, I think, is an overreaching thing for all of us, so especially those of us who are in the event business. Do you meditate? Are you mindful? Like, do you actually kind of go down that?
No, you know, I'm kind of like just an average Joe. I don't do anything extreme. What I do as far as stress is concerned is I used to either worry about things or fret over the littlest things. And since I had that wake-up call, I said, you know, you just pick your battles, right? And don't stress over the really small stuff. You know, let it go. You know, just go to bed, wake up the next day. It's a new day. Start all over again, right? And, you know, the attitude is, you know, all your listeners and you and I, we all have one thing in common, and that is we woke up this morning.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of other people didn't. And that's a gift. That's a gift. And you didn't have anything to do with it. It just happened for whatever reason. Right. It was meant to be. But what happens during the rest of the day is in your hands. You make the call. Right. And so I just have a different attitude about a lot of things, saying that life's too short to worry about the small stuff. And, you know, and so my focus is a little different. And I just let things go that before, you know, I used to get all stressed out driving in my car, right? Traffic. I can't stand this.
No traffic in Boston.
Especially in Boston, right? And now I know I'm going to be in traffic. So, you know, I get my headphones on or whatever. And, you know, I make my phone calls while I'm driving, as long as it's safe and everything and it's legal. Yeah. But, I mean, so I'm multitasking. So I'm not stressed anymore because I'm getting stuff done, even though I might be waiting in traffic. And I prepared for and anticipated it, you know, and eliminated the element of surprise all the time. And so I do these little things to sort of, you know, ward off, you know, stress. And it's the same thing with sleeping. And I used to try to get as little as my body absolutely needed because I wanted to get more things done during
Correct.
The day. And now I realize, you know, you got to get more than 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night. So I get it. So, you know, I upped it a little bit.
Yeah.
I still cheat a little bit on that one, but.
So 4 or 5 still work for you.
Some of the things. Yeah. Yeah.
Dave, you know, thanks for joining us. You know, one of these years I'd love to come down and help you guys out with the Boston Marathon. I think it would just be an absolute thrill to do that. And
and
good luck with the 120th running the Boston Marathon. It is such an iconic race and such a great race in North America and the world. And thanks for all you do for the industry. I mean, you're just one hell of a guy. You know that.
Well, I'm just a reflection of all the folks like you that I hang around with, right? So it's a team effort. So thanks a lot.
Even though I'm Canadian, that's okay.
That's okay. We're all brothers. All right, man.
You got it. Thanks, Dave. All the best.
Take care.
Dave McGilvery, okay. the race director for the Boston Marathon, joining us here on Running Flat Radio. It's that time of the week where we do our Song of the Week, and the Song of the Week really quickly is from Catfish and the Bottlemen with Soundcheck on Running Flat Radio.
Maybe I don't act the way I used to, cause I don't feel the same about you. In fact, that's a lie. I want you. Through soundcheck just to meet you on your fag break, and you convinced me to put life aside and want you. Yeah. And if only for the sake of it, I could chill you out and drive us through the night to your sisters. You could fall asleep in my...
As a first responder, you're dedicated to answering the call for help. It's how you were trained. But because first responders are at least twice as likely to suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, there might be another call for help you're ignoring. Your own. The only way to treat PTSD is by coming forward and talking about it with others, including experts who can help. Today, there's no need to suffer in silence. Get started at firstrespondersfirst.ca. Paid for by the Government of Ontario.
Celebrate your love of animals while enjoying a night on the town. The Whiskers and Tails Gala in support of the Humane Society will take place April 9th at the Water's Edge Event Center. Join me, Arms Boomalag, as your MC for an evening with dinner, entertainment, live music, and an auction. All supporting our furry friends at the Windsor-Essex County Humane Society. Sponsored by CTV Windsor, 93.9 The River, and AM 800. There will be a special visit from Justice and other Humane Society alumni animals. For details and to purchase tickets, go to windsorhumane.org. AM 800 Weather is brought to you by Royal LePage Binder Real Estate. In today's complex real estate market, you need dependable advice. Call your Royal LePage Binder Real Estate representative and get started today, or visit royallepagebinder.com.
Here's the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center for tonight. A few clouds with a low of -1. A mix of sun and cloud for tomorrow, the high reaching 14. Clouds roll in tomorrow night, a 60% chance of showers with a low of 10. Periods of rain on Thursday, a windy high of 18. For Friday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high reaching 10. For Saturday, cloudy, 60% chance of rain or flurries, the high reaching 5.
Working at heights, training requirements are the law in Ontario. If you're an employer who has workers who work at heights in construction, make sure they're trained. If you're a homeowner hiring a contractor who will have workers working at heights, such as replacing a roof, you should ask if they have the training and how they'll work safely. To find out more, visit ontario.ca/workingatheights. Paid for by the Government of Ontario.
Winter is almost over, and we believe that's a reason to celebrate. Because the days are getting longer, the weather warmer, and now at Rogers, the deal's better. That's why there's no better time than spring to get the phone you want at a price you'll love. Get more with a Share Everything plan from Rogers. Like the Samsung Galaxy S6, starting at $0 after $100 bill credit on a select 2-year Share Everything plan. Spring into savings for a limited time. Offer ends March 31st. Visit a Rogers store today.
You've heard about Seacliff Heights, the new all-inclusive rental apartment building in Leamington. Now you can step into this luxurious lifestyle. Our model suite is now open for viewing. Granite countertops, stainless steel appliances, and a washer and dryer in every apartment. Please call 1-844-747-0542 to book your private showing of the model suite and see yourself living the good life. Come and visit us at booth 209 at the Windsor Home and Garden Show, April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. See the virtual tour at Seacliff Heights.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. That is our Song of the Week, Catfish and the Bottlemen with Soundcheck. It's now time for Ben Kaplan and I Run Magazine.
This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800. Tonight's running news is brought to you by I Run.
Hey, Ben Kaplan, how are you? Hey, Ben.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Oh, man, I can't complain.
Yeah. What beautiful Easter weekend, eh?
Yeah, everything is good, and I've got a big race on Sunday, and I'm feeling good, and I'm looking forward to getting out there. So,
what are you running?
Yeah, around the bay.
Oh, that's right. That's right, around the bay.
Yeah, so I was just checking out my PB. You know, I didn't – the 30K is a funny one because it's not like, you know, my goal thing is a three-hour marathon. So the 30K, I'm not sure what's the deal. But 4:10 a kilometer, under 2:05, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, we're doing the Martian half marathon, and that's in a couple weekends. So
sounds fun. Your thing sounds more fun than mine.
Well, yeah, you know, green men, blue men kind of thing, you know. It's, yeah, it's always cool. A lot of fun. And, you know, it's always great to have Dave McGillivray on just before Boston, kind of talking about, you know, some of, you know, the issue that I think a lot of us have been kind of hearing about over the last couple weeks, and that is, you know, the numbers that came out were that it was 4,000 plus folks who had qualified time-wise to go to Boston but didn't make the cut to go to Boston, right?
Right. Yeah, That's tough.
It is, because that's what they worked for, right, is that standard. So, I mean, and you know, you kind of hinted at the issue is, hey, maybe we adjust the standard.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's the only thing. I mean, I guess people are getting faster. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what does it mean. When more people want to do it every year, there's only so many spots. There's only so many people, so.
Well, I think it is the pinnacle of our marathon race, right? I mean, you know, of course, just like the other majors, you know, there's the Paris, the Londons, and the Yorks, you know. I mean, those are the races that people, you know, have on their bucket list. I always had those on my bucket list to get them done, accomplish them. But you know what? Look, at Boston is you know, one of the oldest road races in North America. I'm not going to say it's the oldest because of the argument between Around the Bay and you know, Around the Bay is a year older than Boston. But
yeah.
but the reality is, you know, it has, you know, it goes through what, 7 different cities and municipalities. I mean, it's basically around the same course that it's always been for the last 120 years.
I mean, it's a fun thing. You know, every restaurant is talking about it, and the crowd support's incredible. And the, you know, I was staying at a hotel, and the guys in the hotel are wearing T-shirts that say "Run Wicked Fast," and everybody's in New Balance. But you know, that wasn't my best race experience. So it's like, you know, for all those people who are dreaming about Boston and don't do it and go do whatever, L.A. or Cleveland or whatever instead, you know, it's all good.
Oh, there are not to say that it's the greatest race. It's just one of the largest, most well known. It's kind of our the pinnacle of our sport, right?
Yeah.
But definitely, it's not. You know, I mean, if you want race experience, I mean, you know, people can talk about Disney that way, right? That, you know, going through all the parks and meeting all the characters. I mean, it all depends on what you really want out of your race, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it's neat. It's neat, you know, to see the whole city turn out like that. That's what was, you know, it's a runner's world, you know, to go with the magazine title, but I'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah, Chicago's another one like that as well, where they're literally 5 to 6, 7 people deep for the entire 26 miles.
It's unbelievable. It's really cool.
That it is. Anything else going on with training this year?
Well, I think one of the cool things is, you know, I really looked forward to this now that it's such a busy time. You know, everybody's busy. And a friend of mine, when we raced the Chili last weekend or 2 weekends ago or whatever it was, a month ago now, had this way of phrasing it that, like, we were sort of in a bubble during that time, that we were sort of, you know, you're totally out of your life for the 2 hours. And actually, it was in Burlington, so coming from Toronto, so I even got an hour drive. And it was so funny because it's like, in that little spot, you know, that's what you're doing, and that's what's so important, just going forward like that. And then when you're out of that spot, it's the rest of the world. But when you're in that little bubble, I just love the way he described that, because it's like, you know, you can't it's very hard to do that, to find a place where you can actually remove yourself from everyday life and the hustle and bustle. So I don't know, that mindset thing about that stuck with me, and I'm feeling real good about it. Just to even the drive to Hamilton from Toronto, I mean, I'm just enjoying running, you know.
Well, you know what, it's been an amazing winter.
That's part of it, for sure.
For sure, that's a part of it, because you haven't been training in minus 40 and minus 35 degree weather like we have in the last couple of years. So
yeah, when you're not losing a finger, it's a little more pleasant, for sure. Yeah.
when you're constantly bundling up. So yeah, absolutely. Hey, you know, something that might interest you, in I think in the month of June, maybe late May, June, we're going to actually have a running rabbi and a running priest on.
Oh, we've been talking about this for forever. That's great. Good for you.
But I've actually got a running rabbi and a running priest.
Very good.
So we're gonna do a bit of a special. I don't know. I can go on like once a month. I can do a special on it, and, you know, being the spirituality of running and the correlation between spirituality and endurance running.
Yeah, and the runner's high, like you get in church, and when you see, I wrote a whole article on this once for Runner's World, actually, and it's that's just great. When you run Jerusalem, I did the Jerusalem Marathon, and you'll see people during their marathon stop to weep. You know, that course goes through the steps where they say that Jesus walked, and for some people, the believers, they... Yeah, it's super powerful when you combine the run with the, you know, the place that Jesus walked. It's great stuff. So that sounds like a great special. I can't wait for that.
I can tell you, every time I ran a marathon, I wept.
Right.
And it had nothing to do with spirituality, my friend. Nothing at all.
I call out for God a lot. Jesus, help me. Lord, please.
Where is that lightning bolt? Ben Kaplan, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Appreciate it, brother.
I'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Ben Kaplan from iRun Magazine joins us every week. Thanks for a special guest, Dave McGillivray, this week from the Boston Marathon. Of course, Ben Kaplan from iRun. And for more information about Le Chocolat, Canada Day, Color Run Nights, and any other runs that we do, please go to runningflat.com, as well as any of our races. Just go to Facebook. Any one of our Facebook pages, I think there's about 8 of them all together. And follow us on Twitter at Running Flat. Thanks to all of you, I guess, who have been downloading this show in record numbers, like 3,000 downloads, allowing me to keep in the company. And you know what? Thanks for bringing me along for your runs, your walks, your workouts, whatever it is. I'm back in 7 days. Melissa Bishop, Olympian, world champion, and our guest host, is going to be joining us next week. And she's going to be telling us all about her road to Rio. So until next week, I'm Chris Uzinski. Keep running.
And that's the end of it.
End of episode. Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800. Running Flat Radio is a paid program.